He's going to be answering some questions from the audience.
Thank you so much, Dr. Griffin. This story has so many layers upon layers. He has several different presentations that I've heard him do, and there's so much material, it's just unbelievable. We are going to have about 20 or 30 minutes of Q&A, whatever, as long as he is willing to keep doing it. If you have your cards, please hold them up, and we've got people going around picking them up. They'll bring them up here to us.
That's a good question, and I devoted quite a bit of space to it in the new Pearl Harbor, because I point out there are so many things that are just so obviously problematic. But one answer is that, you know, when you look at the war in Iraq, these guys are not geniuses. Now, there is a very frightening possibility, which is, yes, indeed, they do want Americans to know and know that they know we know, and that there's nothing we can do about it, and that they're in control. I hope that is not the case, but it well could be. And people ask me if this stuff keeps me awake at night. That possibility does sometimes.
Is anything known about the placement of explosives in the World Trade Center buildings and their ignition?
Both Jim Hoffman, whom I believe is here, and Stephen Jones, a physicist at BYU, who's, I think there was film with him in it, and he has now... He has written a lecture which has gotten a lot of circulation called Why Indeed Did the World Trade Center Buildings Collapse. Both Hoffman and Jones have discussed this issue. And, of course, would not know exactly. I mean, we won't know until the truth comes out exactly what happened. But... there are plausible scenarios, not very difficult actually to figure out, as to where the explosives would have to be placed in order to slice, say, you know, all the 47 core towers and, columns. And evidently it wouldn't take an enormous amount, a number of explosives. Jones at least suggests it would take quite a bit fewer than I had originally thought, so that it wouldn't literally take thousands of hours to plant all these. But I'm not an expert on this. If you don't know Jim Hoffman, come up afterwards and I'll point him out to you, and he can speak with some authority on this.
What about the flight that crashed in Pennsylvania? Several of my family members work for the NSA, and they say it was shot down.
I left 93 out tonight because I thought you might want to get home before midnight. A man appreciates that. Good. I devoted quite a bit of time to it, both in the New Pearl Harbor and in the second book. It certainly does appear that the U.S. military shot it down. I mean, there's an enormous amount of evidence that it did. And it appears that one of the motives for lying about when Cheney went down below is to make it appear that he could have not possibly given the shoot-down order. That is, everybody knows it was Cheney who gave the shoot-down order. Now, there's been the controversy. Did he get the permission from the president? And, of course, they say he did, and even the 9/11 Commission expressed skepticism about that. But that aside, everybody knows that Cheney gave the order. So then the question is, when did he give the order? Every story prior to the 9/11 Commission report said that he gave it several minutes before 10 o'clock. And flight 93 was shot down at 10:03, according to the government's theory, a little later, according to seismic records, or apparently. I mean, it's a difficult question. Richard Clark, for example, had said in his book, Against All Enemies, that he was amazed when he asked for shoot-down authorization, how quickly it came from Cheney. And Clark gives the impression it came about 9:45. And he says definitely before the president's plane took off at 9:50. And then we have reports that jets were sent by the head of NEADS, NORAD's in the northeast section, and told to shoot the flight down. We have a pilot who said he heard a rumor from his other people in the military that the military had shot down an aircraft. People at the site gave all sorts of evidence that would suggest the plane had been downed probably by a missile and so on. But the 9/11 Commission said that Cheney didn't get down to the underground bunker until almost 10 o'clock, and then by the time he gave the shoot-down authorization, it was after 10:10, so that at least 7 minutes had gone by after the flight had already crashed. So the logic is, Cheney, the military could not possibly have shot it down. But this is one of the most obvious lies in the commission report. Everything, including Cheney himself, indicated that he was down there long before that. And it's just amazing, or it ought to be amazing, that our mainstream press won't even point out that most obvious lie in the commission's report. Of course, another question is, why if the military shot the plane down, why are they lying about it and saying they didn't? Why didn't they claim? Well, here, when we got a sufficient notification, we did our job. So, see, we were trying to protect Washington. This is one of the big mysteries. Why they didn't take credit for it and lied about it. There are various theories about why this happened, and some of them are plausible. But I don't know for sure. One other thing happened recently, by the way. I better not tell this story because it's not clear enough in my mind, but it was a good one. It's coming back now. I can't remember his name. There was an envoy to Canada and talking to the Canadians about supporting America with regard to going all the way with the new plans for NORAD. And this speaker, to try to instill pride in the Canadians, said, well, you know, it was a Canadian who gave the order to shoot down Flight 93 on September 11th. So little bits of the truth do come out here and there, it appears.
Has anyone studied who the passengers on the planes were and what happened to them as it is suggested that the plane that hit the Pentagon was a missile?
Some people have done studies of the passengers. I have read those studies and find them quite intriguing, but I myself haven't really devoted enough time to this to talk with any authority about this. But as to the question of what would have happened to the passengers, say, of Flight 77, if something else, such as a missile or a small military airplane or something else still, was what hit the Pentagon, there are all sorts of possibilities. One was, announced that morning, was that an airliner had gone down on the Kentucky-Ohio border, and the FAA took this very seriously, and so that's one possibility of what happened to Flight 77. I don't know. We won't know these things until we have a real investigation. But there are all sorts of things that then could have happened to the passengers. But I don't have any firm intelligence on this, so I won't try to speak to that.
What do you think is the best response to the phrase conspiracy theory?
Well, the quickest one is that the government's theory was the original conspiracy theory about 9/11. And it's very interesting that both President Bush and Philip Zelikow used the identical words, telling people, do not fall for outrageous conspiracy theories. But it's interesting to think about, what would be an outrageous conspiracy theory. It can't just be any conspiracy theory, since the government's theory is a conspiracy theory, according to which 19 Arab Muslims, under the inspiration of Osama bin Laden, conspired to do all these things. So what's an outrageous one? Well, if you think about these things in terms of the philosophy of science, you have good theories and bad theories. There's nothing wrong with a theory, quantum theory is considered rather respectable, and yet it's a theory. And there's nothing wrong with conspiracy theories. We all believe hundreds of conspiracy theories. Every day you read the newspaper, read about, it's just when two or three people conspire in secret to do something immoral or illegal, that's a conspiracy. And so our newspapers are full of those, from robbing the local 7-Eleven to Enron conspiring to cheat its investors. So there must be something that makes something an outrageous conspiracy theory. Well, in the philosophy of science, let's start with a good theory. A good theory is one that can take account of all the relevant facts in a self-consistent way. A bad theory is one that is inconsistent with some of the relevant facts. An outrageous theory would be one that is inconsistent with all the relevant facts, and that's the official theory about 9/11.
Is there any hope of getting these issues adequately addressed by the mainstream media?
Is anybody here from the mainstream media tonight who can speak to that? There was recently a report that there was to be a discussion, I believe a film and a discussion in Japan, Tokyo, I believe, and that the bureau chief for one of our major newspapers said that if he went to that meeting, he would be fired. I suspect this is true, that you are not, at least you are strongly discouraged from even attending such sessions to give them any credence whatsoever, any credibility, and certainly not to give a favorable report about them. Now, it does seem like things may be changing. For example, I know my own life the best, so I'll give a few examples. I did appear on C-SPAN a year ago, hooray for C-SPAN. Now, C-SPAN is not quite the mainstream media, but it's close. It has national coverage. So that was an important event. Then LA Times Magazine did a favorable interview with me. Another major newspaper, a major reporter for that newspaper, has done an interview with me. The photographer was even sent, and I'm told that's a surefire sign the story's going to run, because they never waste money on the photographer unless it's going to run. It has not run. That was several months ago, but Rita and Katrina and lots of other things intervened. This reporter tells me he is still going to do the story. It could happen, and this could be a big event. So I am more hopeful than I was 6 months ago, and partly because I think our corporate owners of the media may be getting more and more convinced that what this administration is doing is not good, even for corporate America, and might be ready, just as it appears that the elite in the country decided at a certain point that it was time for Nixon to go, and that's when the Watergate investigation was allowed to go forward. It may be that we're to the point where the wise men, now the wise men and women, will say they've got to go, and maybe 9/11's the best way to bring them down.
What organization bought the put options on United and American Airlines?
Well, of course the 9/11 Commission wouldn't tell you that, because you could go check the story out. You know, if you read the 9/11 Commission report, people will say, oh, what a scholarly volume. Just look at those, you know, 100 pages of notes at the back. But when you read the notes, you find that lots of things are missing, such as names, anything where you could go carry out an investigation yourself. Another thing about this, while I'm on this, let me rant about this. As a professor who, you know, taught students, graduate students for a long time, what you teach them in writing a paper is you first do a review of the relevant literature. That's the first criterion for a scholarly approach to any subject. When the 9/11 Commission report was published, there had been about 10 books that had been published on this. My book, Hoffman's writings, several others, books from other countries. Not a single one of those books is even mentioned, let alone refuted. So it's not surprising they don't tell us who bought the put options.
If you believe that 9/11 is fixed, what do you see Bush doing in October 06?
I take it the suggestion is we may have another massive terrorist attack. And certainly there has been a lot of discussion of that, perhaps as a pretext to attack Iran, perhaps as a pretext to institute martial law. And I must admit, this does worry me, because I'm not sure that there is anything these guys wouldn't do to stay in power and to keep the lid on things. But if I could offer one correction here, I don't think it's what Bush will do. I did mention who I think calls the shots in the White House.
Wasn't Rumsfeld quoted as saying something about the plane over Pennsylvania as being shot down?
That's right. That's one of the many things that seem to have slipped out, where he said, let's see, I'm blanking on the exact statement now, but it was something to that effect when he was talking about this, that I thought it was going to come back to me, but it's not. But yes, he evidently slipped on some other things too. But this was one of them. And so I think we all know this, that if we're trying to keep a secret and then we get in a tough situation, sometimes the truth slips out. And later we have to have our fixers say, oh, he didn't really mean that. But yes, he did.
To play devil's advocate, what can be made of the highly detailed report by NOVA on the collapse of the towers? Are we to believe the good people of NOVA are in league with the administration?
Well, I don't know the people that know this. I don't know if they're good people or not, actually. I assume there are some good people there, but and it could be that they were just good, naive people who believed what the administration told them, and so they put out a propaganda piece. I don't know. Again, with a lot of these things, there are all sorts of possibilities. And I haven't been one who has tried to, on many questions, develop a theory of what really happened, either on 9/11 or in the months before or in the months afterwards. So I don't have a theory about this either, but certainly certainly the show is false. But what was the motive behind the false statements suggesting that fire could have melted the steel? I don't know whether that was deliberate deception or just innocent ignorance.
Why have none of the four or possibly eight black boxes on the hijacked planes been revealed to the public?
I think that was a rhetorical question, so we can probably just move on. These black boxes could just reveal all sorts of things that contradict the official story. So we're not going to see these black boxes any more than we're going to see the videos from the Pentagon.
Please comment on the allegations of war games in progress on 9/11 involving simulated hijackings as confirmed by Rumsfeld to Representative Maxine Waters.
People involved in the 9/11 truth movement some of us are generalists, but even generalists have to specialize in certain things. And I have followed the discussion of the war games with interest. And at the time Mike Rupert wrote his book, I think he was talking about four war games going on. And now Paul Thompson and Matt Everett have suggested, I believe they're up to nine now. What I found very remarkable was that during the 9/11 Commission hearings, somebody from the public asked one of the commissioners, actually Jamie Gorelick, why they didn't discuss the war games. And she said, "We didn't go into that because we were told it wasn't important." So I took that as a good illustration of the way that Zelikow was able to... So the commissioners you saw on TV, they're not the ones who did the work. They just took the material that the staff prepared for them and then talked about it on TV. So they just either, again... with deceit or innocently, took what the staff gave to them, and in this case they were told it wasn't important. That said, let me add one more comment. I have not thus far been convinced that that we should say that what happened on 9/11 was not a stand down, but was rather confusion caused by these war games and planes being out of town and all these blips on the computers and so on. It's possible, but I haven't seen the need for it yet, and so I'm still just an old-fashioned stand-down guy.
What do you think of the Moussaoui confession?
Again, I don't know what to think. But one question that has come up is whether that somehow contradicts anything that I've said tonight or in my other talks or books. And not at all. There are various possibilities. One is that a deal was cut and he was maybe told, you know, you're going to die anyway. So if you confess, we can take really good care of your families for the rest of your lives. Why not? Secondly, maybe he thought, I'm going to die anyway. Why not go down in history as somebody important, not just the fringe character who they were maybe going to use for something else. A third possibility was revealed on MSNBC, I'm told, a discussion between Dan Abrams and the NBC Pentagon... can't call his name, but anyway, the discussion was Abrams saying, well, isn't this surprising? This confession came out, and the reporter said, yeah, we think he has a stun belt on. And Abrams said, what, really, a stun belt so they can just zap him if he doesn't say the right things? Well... I haven't directly seen it, but that that was sent to me, and I have no reason to doubt it. Now, another possibility is that he's actually telling the truth, or what he thinks is the truth, that he really did think he was going to be involved in the operation and be involved in flying a plane into the White House. Again, that says nothing about what was really going on that day. In operations of this sort, you have patsies. Patsies are ones who are involved in an operation. They know they're involved in something, but they don't know generally exactly what they're going to be involved in. And they generally don't know they're going to be killed when it's all over. So they cooperate. So that's possible, too. So I really don't know what the truth is, but it, from my point of view, makes no difference to the story I'm suggesting tonight.
KMUD Garnerville, KMUE Eureka, KLAI Laytonville.
For this cause, do you feel, do you see any religious or spiritual implications for 9/11, and what are they? Your next visit.
Oh, why is a theologian speaking about this? I didn't have anything else to do. Sure, and I think it was on the radio interview that was run here or in the paper. Anyway, what we theologians are supposed to be doing is trying to imagine and speak about the world from the divine point of view. And if the religions of the world are basically correct, the divine is the creator and lover of all peoples, in fact, all creatures, and cares about the good of the world, the long-term good of the world, and wouldn't want people producing nuclear wars that would decimate all life on the planet, wouldn't want the global warming to continue after 30 years after we've known about it, 35 years now, about the ecological crisis, wouldn't want all these things. So I'm convinced that this administration, as was said earlier tonight, is the most dangerous administration we have ever had for the future of this country. And the future of the world. And if trying to save God's planet is not a religious issue, I wouldn't know what was. Thank you for the question.
I don't know how many more you want to do.
Let's try three more.
Three more? Okay. Why would Cheney have Flight 93 shot down, assuming a conspiracy was in effect?
That was probably asked before I gave my answer. So since I've already responded to that, my answer is, I don't know.
Good answer. There are only a few demolition companies that could have pulled off a controlled demolition of the towers. Have they been investigated and individual workers sought out who might have been involved in the packing or placing of the explosives beforehand?
Of course not. Controlled demolition that company, which is one of the few companies in the world authorized to do controlled implosions, was brought in to do the cleanup for the World Trade Center. I understand made quite a tidy profit on it. Tidy, not tiny. It's very interesting. Marc Loiseau, the president, did an interview recently in New Scientist magazine, and some very damning stuff in there inadvertently. He explains that to make a building come down in that way, straight down so no other buildings are destroyed, you know, except maybe four other buildings of the World Trade Center complex that you want to get rid of the whole thing anyway. You know, all the details. It takes enormous planning. He says he spends, you know, hundreds of hours when it's a big building, scoping it out, taking pictures, going back again. He says the explosives have to be placed just right and in precisely the right order in order to bring the building straight down. But then he says, oh, but of course the World Trade Center buildings were brought down by fire.
I agree with all you said. What do we do now? A, plan a revolution. B, nonviolent resistance like Gandhi. C, move to another country. They have the president, Congress, courts, military, CIA, NSA, Homeland Security, industry, media, etc. We have what?
Well, we have each other and we have the truth, for starters. And of the three options, I would say A and B, both of them, plan the revolution and nonviolent resistance. I gave a talk recently in Santa Barbara, which was actually the first talk I gave specifically as a Christian theologian speaking on this issue to fellow Christians. And in that talk, as well as in the book I mentioned that is coming out on 9/11 and Christian faith, I suggest that what we need within the Christian church in this country is an anti-imperial movement. Something like in Germany, a year after Hitler took power, there was a movement known as the German Church, the German Christians, which supported Hitler and thought he was their man who was going to bring him the kind of greatness Germany deserved. But another movement called Confessing Christians started with theologians such as Karl Barth and Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And they argued that supporting Nazism is inconsistent with Christian faith. And so that even though on most political issues, Christians should have the freedom to believe and say what they want, on this issue, this should be made a matter of faith. And so this was an important movement. Of course, it didn't succeed. Bonhoeffer ended up dying for the cause. In South Africa, some of the churches decided that South African apartheid was so despicable, so contrary to Christian faith, that Christians had to call it a confessing situation, so that to be a Christian meant to oppose apartheid. So I believe that we are to that point in this country, and now tonight I would expand that and say that Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, ethical humanists, human beings should form an anti-imperial movement, because that's what, as I tried to make clear, 9/11 was all about, a means to increase the empire. And so we do need a revolution, a nonviolent revolution, against American imperialism before it's too late.